Happy New Year to everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I hope you had a great New Year's Eve and a very safe one, too, and are celebrating the new year in style. 2023, how about that? So, few things to be thankful for, a great 2022, and let's hope that we get some great fishing in 2023 and be safe and happy throughout the year. And I want to be very grateful to you, our listeners, as well as our sponsors, for having a great 2022 for Let's Talk Hookup, our 31st year on the air, celebrating now our 32nd year on the air, which we're really very excited about. We have a great best of show. We will not be taking phone calls. We will not take texts. So enjoy. There's a lot of stuff that's going to come up here in the next 2 hours, so enjoy it. Hey, want to also say congratulations to the Mightier 1090 AM for another successful year on the air, and we're very, very proud to be a part of that, and very, very proud to be associated with all the sport fishing businesses that support Let's Talk Hookup and all the people outside sport fishing that support us. So here we go. Hour number one of our Best of New Year's Day show, and this one's an interesting one. It's actually available on our Let's Talk Hookup app in the Classic Archives section, and it's Marty Milner Days, January 14th, 2001. Marty Milner, Bongo Joe Berrien, along with me, and with the old intro we used to use on the show when we were on the Mighty 690, I believe it was back then, and talking sea bass, yellowtail, and albacore, if you can believe that. So enjoy this with Bongo Joe Berrien from Bongo Sport Fishing and our old friend Marty Milner, who we miss a whole bunch. Let's Talk Hookup from January 14th, 2001. Here you go. Classic Let's Talk Hookup show from January 2001.
And now, it's time for Southern California's number one radio show for the fresh and saltwater angler. Let's Talk Hookup. This is your chance to get the latest fishing information and to call in and participate. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Berkeley Trilene, America's favorite fishing line. Blue Porpoise Marine, your fishing boat headquarters. And Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, here are your hosts for Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Marty Milner.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. It's a special morning. We've got Bongo Joe Berrien in the studio with us. I'm Marty Milner here with my partner, Pete Gray. Stick with us. This is Southern California's sport fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup on Extra Sports 690. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on Extra Sports 690.
And welcome to our great guest in the studio, one of my great buddies, Bongo Joe Berrien. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you in the studio here with us today.
Nice to be here.
Yeah.
My privilege.
Oh, man, it's so much fun fishing with you and so much fun just hanging out with you guys at Bongo Sport Fishing. A lot going on. What's been going on with Bongo's?
Well, this is time of the year when we do all our maintenance. You know, the boats are down. January usually a good time to take care of it. So all year long, we don't have any problems. We can concentrate on fishing.
Right.
So we've hit Bongo Steel. We took the engines out of it a month ago, and we just fired them yesterday. They purr in like a couple of kittens. And
all right.
Bob King from Coastal Pacific Marine and Scott Brown, they're just great guys. They got in there, get the whole thing down to the block, torqued every bolt, even to the hose clamps. It's torque. It's back in running really good. So we'll have the boat together in a week, and then we'll concentrate on fishing. Meanwhile, Bongo's 3 has been going, doing some fishing. We did some Catalina fishing. Richard got a sea bass, a couple of sea bass, one keeper, one short. As you guys know, it's a little bit tough at Catalina right now. Lots of bait. And fish just aren't, you know, January just not the right time yet. Come March when they start spawning, then we'll get full time into the sea bass, hopefully. I think we're going to have another great year like we did last couple of years.
Yeah.
Get into the sea bass and then go from the sea bass to albacore and yellowtail and yellowfin and back into maintenance again, you know.
What about the incredible yellowtail bite we had last spring at Catalina, too?
Oh,
don't
yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Right. And then the Dorado, the yellowtail and the Dorado out there, we had some incredible Dorado days where we were doing limits, easy limits. And then when the limits were done, you know, we had to stop fishing for Dorado, but we were fishing for yellowtail catching Dorado, you know.
Unbelievable.
there was some incredible Dorado.
Yeah.
Everything that happened last year, it was good.
Yeah.
You know, we just sea bass, we're doing limits. And then one day we had sea bass. I think it was like 13 sea bass or no. Yeah. 13 sea bass. Next day we had 18 albacore.
Wow.
You know, that was just that kind of a transition. Yeah. And it just kept going like that. And I think it's going to be another great year.
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all that bait there, are the fish there? Are they feeding? They're just not biting? Or where are the sea bass? Where do they go? Do we know?
You know what? This is it. That's you're asking the number one question right there. You got to go where the fish are.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're not always where the fish are. And if you're there, you're catching the fish, you're in the right spot. If you're not catching the fish even haven't really moved into Catalina in big numbers. That's my take. You never know.
Haven't got there
because when you got big numbers of sea bass like we did last year, then no matter how much bait we had last year, also was no problem getting bait. It's just you going to catch them. But I just don't think that they're spawning mode yet. And that's when the white sea bass moves in into the shallows to spawn. Right. And I don't think they're in the full mode of spawning yet. So that usually doesn't happen until March. Between March and June is when they will be spawning. That's when the limits, of course, will change.
Go to one.
This is why we don't, you know, catch.
Right. Now,
it goes to one.
Of course, we know for sure from past experience that the best bite starts during Fred Hall Long Beach. So we can pretty much count on March the 7th
right.
being the beginning
exactly.
of the hot sea bass season.
It never fails, does
yeah.
it? It's we get that great hype and people think that, oh, you know, this is just a promotional deal. No, it's not too weird. You know,
it really
the
happens.
Fish start biting and,
yeah.
and I'll be in the booth and hear all about this fishing and it's just like,
well, going crazy.
When it's over, we'll be fishing for them, you know.
that's
another thing we're looking forward to is the Fred Hall show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's,
I know Pat was telling me she's already making big plans for it, right?
It seems like this year is going to be even bigger, you know, the whole show.
Really, yeah.
Well, your booth is always a highlight in that show anyway. It's so much fun to see it.
Well, we always have fun. You know, it's good to meet all our people, and it's good for the people to meet our captains and crew. And of course, nobody comes to see the girls. They all come see the captains.
Of course. Right.
But it doesn't hurt. Yeah, we'll have fun in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
We may. I think we're going to have the Dorados with us this year.
Is that right?
I think so.
Cool.
Yeah, we haven't ironed out all the details yet.
Oh, neat.
So we'll
have
more fun.
Doing concerts within the booth, though?
Yeah, signing CDs and so forth. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be great.
And of course, the Danny Jackson will be there.
Yeah. Of course, Donnie will hang out with you probably, huh?
Donnie Brockman and the Davies Locker guys.
Yeah.
And by the way, Danny Jackson, we're going to redo the Catalina video.
Oh, great.
Yeah. In about a week or two.
Oh, really?
So
Danny's
have the
videos
fresh
are
copy,
so educational. Whenever somebody says to me, how do I learn to fish Catalina? I can't think, other than going, number one thing would be going fishing with you. I mean that wholeheartedly.
I appreciate that.
I have learned so much about Catalina going fishing with you. But number two next to that is watching Danny's videos because you really get a feel for all the spots.
It really does. And I'm not saying that because Danny is a wonderful man, and
yes.
He is. He's a very, very nice person. But his videos, he has tapped the market where it's much needed.
Right.
And people will come and talk to me at our store. You know, we have a little tackle store and a little gift shop there in Newport. And they'll come in and talk. And the number one thing I will point out is Danny Jackson's video. I go, you see that? There is more information in that tape that has taken me 20 years to learn. And you can do it in no time.
Yeah.
It gives you the spot name. It gives you coordinates. It gives you visual, you know.
Yeah. Signs,
landmarks,
yeah,
so forth, and it's just, And even just the name, when somebody says we're at Orange Rocks, well, where is Orange Rocks, you know?
Right.
So that is really, really educating. And for the little bit of money that you're spending on those tapes, it's just you get wealth of information.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, same thing with Mark. I heard Mark's going to do the book on that. That's going to be another great Mark
Wish. Another
tool. Yeah. So between videos and books, that is, you will save yourself so much frustration,
yes,
so much fuel, yeah, so much. You might, you know, just, you know, some people might even quit fishing because they, I had a couple yesterday at the store, a great couple. I said, we love to fish. They go, well, what do you catch? Well, we don't catch much. What do you mean? Well, I said, we go there, but we really sit there and we're very patient and we'll wait all day. Well, I'll go, no, that's not right. You shouldn't be waiting all day for a fish. You know, if you're sitting there patiently waiting all day, well, if you're not at the right spot.
Yeah.
Something's not happening. So I give him a tape, or they purchased it, and they purchased the tape, and then give him some advice. They're so excited. You know, they're really, really excited because
they're going to learn something.
We've discussed this before. 90% of the ocean is void of all fish.
Yeah.
You know, it's that 10% that holds the fish, and it's really, really important to know where you want to be. You know, go where the fish is. This is why you want to go where the fish is and go there fast.
Right.
Now, load up and come back.
How do you know when to leave and when to stay? That's the big question.
Well, you know what? It's not all by textbook. If it was, well, then everybody would come home with loads of fish.
Right.
And we wouldn't have...
It would be catching, not fishing.
Yeah. So it's... You want to better your chances of catching the fish by looking at videos, reading books, and talking to your friends, and reading signs on the ocean. But when to leave, and it's just like knowing when to hold and when to fold, you
okay.
know?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
It is. But if the signs are there, I would give more time. But if I don't have any, if the current, for number one thing is really current, especially if you're fishing structure, say sea bass, yellowtail, calico bass, or whatever. If you're fishing structure, number one is really current. You know, if you don't have a current, chances are you ain't going to catch a whole lot.
Yeah.
Chances are if you move, you're not going to catch anything unless you find another spot that's got a good current going and you're metering some bait and there's some life around it. But if you don't have current, there's no bait, no bird activity, well, might as well move. And you've been sitting there a while.
So those are the things you look for. Current, life on the meter, life around on the surface.
On the surface. The birds, you know, that these are a combination of things that you want to look at and then make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times all the stuff's there, you sit there. And how long do I sit here, you know?
We've all pondered that one, right?
Six guys are looking at me like, okay, Joe, where's the fish? You know?
And then you drive away, and then you think, and then you hear an hour later
another boat pulled
biting.
In. Another boat pulled in and got limited.
Yeah.
And
that happens. Yeah.
And it happens also when we pull in, and off the bat, you get wide open yellowtail bite like
sure.
we did that day.
Oh, yeah.
When you were on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
So that's... You know, so that's interesting. That's what makes it interesting, actually. If you were to go out there and catch limits of yellowtail and limits of sea bass every day, now, would that be as much fun?
No,
I don't think it would be. It wouldn't be as intriguing, and it would be as challenging. I think part of fishing is the challenge.
Yes.
You're given the challenge, you get this huge ocean, you know, you have the challenge of going out there and finding the fish. And when you do, it's the satisfaction is so great, and you've been paid. But if it was that easy, I don't think the payoff would be as sweet.
No question. Yeah. Now, you have Bongo Sport Fishing. Not only you, of course, as a skipper, great skipper, but Richard, your young skipper, is probably one of the most incredible skippers I've fished with locally. Just from he really has a feel for fishing. You can really tell. I mean, he really has a sense for when the right time is and where the right place is. And when you fish with him several days like I have, I have just gotten to admire this guy, his ability, incredible amount. He is really, really good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very, very fortunate to have Richard. You know, like Like, I think I got two right hands with him on board, you know.
Oh,
he's an incredible guy. But
and, of course, Sharif is also excellent.
Sharif Muhammad, John Taylor. These are some great guys I have, you know. It's, you know, Richard deserves a lot of credit, but these guys do a tremendous job. And I have a couple of guys that join our team this year is Chandler Bell and Mike Strosberry.
Oh.
And these two guys are just going to be as good as the rest of my team. Yeah,
wow.
I got a, you know, good feeling about these guys.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great team this year.
Now, the concept on Bongo Sport Fishing is fun, good fishing, and get there fast and get home fast, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, good boats, fast boats.
Fast boats.
And of course, maintenance-free. I mean, we don't want to break down where we are. This is why that's, you know, I was just like, people don't think about it. They put the boats away, people that own boats. And comes May when it's time to go albacore fishing or the sea bass is biting, they jump. After 2 months, they haven't been down to the boat. Nobody's checked anything. They jump on the boat, go there, and have problems the rest of the trip. Or
right.
The rest. So it's really, really important. Part of great fishing is to have a great boat where it gets you there. And trouble-free, so you can concentrate on fishing. This is why a good mechanic or a good maintenance program comes in very, very important. Like, in 5 years, we put, like, 11,000 on those Cummins engines, and we've probably had to come back on one engine twice. So that's just part of having
good.
A good team, good engine.
That's pretty good for as many. When you're running every day, Marty, you're running two boats a day. That's pretty incredible.
Yes,
record.
That's just due maintenance. You know, I believe in getting the right boat, right engine, the right skipper, right mechanic, and those guys over at Coastal Pacific.
Their life service.
Bob King was the service manager for Cummins. Like I said, he's done incredible work for me.
That's neat.
Well, a couple of the airlines could take a page from your notebook.
Yeah, no kidding. As you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you, and wait till you hear the prizes that Joe has put together.
You may think Christmas is over because it's the middle of January, but it's not. Anyway, if you'd like to join us this morning, our toll-free number from anywhere in the U.S., 800-776-1690. In the 619 area code, 296-1690. First-time caller, 619-543-8070. And if you're on a cell phone, star 690. Now listen to this. One lucky caller today is going to win a one-day open party trip on Bongos 3. That's worth $170. Another lucky caller is going to win a Captain Sam CD and a Bongos T-shirt. Another caller, a Dorado CT and a Bongos T-shirt. Another caller, Danny Jackson Video, San Clemente Island. Now you've heard the guys talking about how good the Danny Jackson videos are, how informative they are. Another Danny Jackson video, Catalina Island. And a third Danny Jackson video, Coastal Hotspot. So, at the end of the show today...
Wow, that was fantastic, wasn't it? To hear Marty again and Bongo Joe, our great friend there. And I'll tell you what, here's another great one here. And this is really, really going to be a fun one. Steve Lasley, one of the legendary captains in the industry, private boat captain. And this was an interesting interview from June the 9th, 2012. He talks a lot about sea bass fishing and marlin fishing and winning the big tournament at the Bisbee, richest tournament ever won. That was really, really quite a tournament where he and the guys won over $4 million. Listen to Steve Lasley along with myself and Ricky, June 9th, 2012. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on Double X 1090. What a great show it's going to be today, man.
We're already having fun, and the mics haven't even been on yet on the air. So Captain Steve Lasley, our good buddy, is here. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Steve?
We need to get that mic on there, Tim, please. And Steve, of course, is one of those guys that's been all over the place. Where have you been fishing?
You know, I've been mostly fishing out of Cabo San Lucas and Puerto Los Cabos and like that for, I think I've been fishing like 6 out of the last 7 weeks and fishing from, up around the Punta Arena area down to, you know, the 1150 Donut, stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, this is good timing because Rick and I will be down there starting tomorrow. Our Let's Talk Hookup Tournament at Rancho Leonero starts today. Our group's down there. We're flying down tomorrow. And... so there's good fishing? They're going to find some fish down there?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, really, honestly, it's some of the best fishing I've seen. We were kind of hoping last year we had a huge swordfish season down there. You know, we found like 9 swordfish or something in 6 days, and we caught 3, and this year they just weren't there. The current was pulling a lot too hard. I don't like to see a lot of current when I'm fishing surface fish of any kind, and the marlin were kind of acting weird too, but the fishing's phenomenal right now, and anything from rooster fish to 30 pounds, 35 pounds, we didn't catch any, but some of the guys are catching them. I didn't try it. We've had some insane amberjack fishing, some great grouper fishing. The marlin fishing's been, you know, plenty good. On a bad day, we'll catch 3. On a good day, you know, you could catch 20 or something if you wanted to, pretty easy.
Wow. Well, you could catch 20.
Well, you know, there's quite a few guys that are getting with it pretty good down there, you know. And what's really funny is almost everybody's pulling ballyhoo and stuff now. It's a whole different deal. Yeah. And real bizarre fishing, too. The water's like mud down there, you know, and you find the fish tailing or something. And if they go under, they're gone, period. There's no color spot. There's nothing. You cannot see them. They're just gone.
That is so weird for down there, huh?
Yeah. And you got to hit them right on the head. You miss them by more than about 4 or 5 feet. Like if you make a beautiful cast and you lead them 15, 20 feet, forget it. You won't get a bite.
Really?
You don't see it, huh?
You got to hit them right on the head. You hit them right on the head, they eat it right now. It's pretty cool. It's
fun. Wow.
That's cool. That's got to be cool for the guy that's becomes the extreme challenge. You know, it's like this bite is in your hands, so don't mess it up.
That's cool. It's a blast. And, you know, we kept talking about it this year, and we keep kicking ourselves because we didn't do it. But we're going to slap that GoPro on Anthony's melon next year. You know, we're going to get some of that footage where they're jumping under your feet and stuff. It's fun.
Oh,
high energy.
That's
awesome.
A lot of fun. So a lot of time in Cabo lately. Now you're headed to Hawaii, right?
Well, I got a sea bass trip that I'm leaving on today. We're leaving at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're going to fish all night and all day tomorrow. And then a week from tomorrow, I'm leaving for Kona for five weeks, I think.
5 weeks. The blue marlin season.
Blue marlin season, yeah. We're going to fish the World Cup over there. That's on July 4th.
Wow.
That's the biggest blue marlin only caught anywhere in the world on that day. And you get to start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you finish at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're the last zone to fish, so we always know what's been caught in the rest of the world first.
Yeah, what do you
what
do you got to be? Cool.
It's kind of a bummer, though, if you wake up at 5 o'clock and there's been like an 11 or something.
We're going to save some fuel.
Yeah, it takes the wind out of your sails.
Speaking of which, so you talk about blue marlin caught all over the world. What a cool idea that is. Where would big blue marlin be caught in the world?
You know, the Bermuda is always a good spot.
Bermuda.
South Africa seems like it does pretty well. Hawaii does really well. I think they've won it maybe more than any other place.
Wow. In Kona?
Yeah.
No kidding. Wow. Mm-hmm. So there's several places in the world you can go catch blue marlin. And
It's all over the place. You know, Madeira is always a...
Oh, Madeira, of course.
You know, there's a lot of area. Azores.
Yeah.
Wow. When you guys are doing that real big fish, just looking for giant one, is it all lure pulling? Is it all pulling baits? I mean, is it always a mixture of whatever flavor you like to do?
You know, we kind of have got the mindset, and we're going to stick with it, that we're going to cover the ground and fish with the lures. And certainly, I haven't been fishing there very long, but the little bit that I've been fishing there, most of the big fish have been coming on the lures.
Okay. I still have that visual on my head, Steve.
That was
The visual I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, that was one of the two biggest fish I ever seen, Pete, still in my life.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was Steve Pinard and I went over and fished with Captain Lasley over in Hawaii on the Bad Company over there in Kona, and this fish made a 4-foot wake, didn't it?
It was a big wave behind it. I couldn't believe it when I first looked, because I hadn't seen that many, you know, really huge fish, and it looked like a whale back there behind the thing, man. It was so fat.
No way.
It was a big wave of water, man, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it just didn't eat.
That one never ate, but it followed it for plenty long enough. That's what those big ones do, you know. They get kind of curious and they come in there and
followed around.
Yeah.
And how much does that get under your skin?
I still have the visual, you know. We're sitting there in the cockpit and Steve goes, look at that! I'm like, That was incredible. So that's just one of the things. So sea bass, you know, a lot of great sea bass. You're going sea bass fishing. Of course, you did a lot of sea bass fishing way back when aboard the Mirage and other boats in Southern California here. It's been a good season, huh?
Yeah, man. A lot of guys are getting on it, you know. I mean, all the top hot dogger guys, you know, Billy Zeiler and Kingsmill and, you know, a lot of other guys, they've been really fishing it hard, and they've been really on top of it and putting together some big numbers, you know, on world-class fish, man. And I haven't fished them in 6 years, so I'm relying real heavily these guys. You know, I've been pestering the heck out of them, trying to stay on top of what's sure. going on. It's kind of slow right now, but
full moon. Is that,
well,
is that,
you know, we're coming off the moon. I always liked the moon. We always had our biggest numbers on the, you know, dark and the full, the big pull of the moon on the tides and stuff, mm-hmm. you know. And I haven't really done that much fishing on the beach. You know, I did a little bit down there in Mexico. I did a little bit with Conklin in the 70s. I'm looking forward to it. It's bird school fishing, some of it.
Yeah.
And it's the squid beds, some of it. And I like both those. It's kind of.
Sure.
I wish I had my electronics that I got on the other boat, but on this, we're fishing on a 39 Tiara.
So speaking of squid beds, somebody asked me the question the other day, how do you find a squid bed on your meter? What's it look like?
Well, everybody twists their stuff up a little bit different, but it's just a little fuzz on the bottom,
uh-huh.
you know, and you usually see a bunch of single squids up on top of it, you know, that are mm-hmm. like little exclamation points up on top, you know, and you can... Some guys white line it, some guys don't. You know, if you know the bottom real well, you don't got to white line it.
Is it a different color on a colored meter than, say, a mackerel or a sardine will color up?
It depends on what machine you have and how you twist it up, but it's just a fuzz.
Yeah, just a fuzz right against the bottom.
Yeah, right on the bottom, you know. And we were out at Clemente a number of years ago when I was on the Mirage, and we found that fuzz that went for like 200 or 300 yards. It was a huge nest, and bunch of fish got on that thing for months, you know, for at least 6 weeks, a bunch of big yellows and sea bass and stuff. But looked like a carpet of fuzz down
really?
In a big area. It was pretty cool.
So when sea bass are they're feeding in this area, these are actually the squid beds are where they're laying their eggs, right?
Yeah.
And then they're dying. Are they eating the dead squid that's already died? Or are they eating the live squid spawning?
Man, I don't know. They eat pretty much anything.
Everything
they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're down there grubbing around.
Yeah. So if somebody was ready to go sea bass fishing, Steve Lasley have any Steve Lasley tips that help them catch?
No, just, you know, it's like anything. The more time you put into it, and the better you're going to get, you know. And I haven't fished them in 6 years. You know, I've been real fortunate with all my operations. I've been taught. And I've had the opportunity to fish with a lot of the best guys in the business, you know, and Billy taught me a lot about what was going on. And he's like me. He's real innovative, and he's always trying to twist the techniques and fine-tune stuff and, you know, trying stuff that people typically don't try and even some stuff you'd never think of, you know, and getting some bites. But it's just like anything, man. The more time you put into it, the better you're going to get.
Have you hooked more sea bass in the rod holder than in the hand?
Not me.
No?
Nope.
You like to hold the rod?
I do. I like fishing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because sometimes they leave it in the rod. A lot of guys like to fish in the rod holder and they catch fish.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to get out fished by a lot of those guys certain times, you know. But I don't know. Ricky knows. I like fishing a great big grub. I fish a big, huge grub. Especially on the squid beds, and I catch a lot of fish on that thing, man, and it's cast, and it's bouncing the bottom with a squid on it, and, you know, they pull the squid off, and they come back, and the rubber's there, and you get another bite either by that fish or I think, a different one.
Yeah,
a
competition thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's cool.
Okay, well, there's a hot tip right there.
For sure.
You're paying attention.
I don't know if it works anymore. You know,
why not? It worked before.
Yeah, but, you know, stuff changes. We're learning that, you know. Times change, and you got to change with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You can go out there and check it out. Okay, Marlin, which is where you made a lot of notoriety. You've won millions of dollars, shall we say, in Marlin tournaments, both in Cabo and up here. Would mm-hmm. that be a fair say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I'm...
I say, what's the total got to be?
I'm pushing 7 million.
7 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm about 70 or 80,000 away from... But we had that one big year.
Yes.
We won... 4.3 million that 1 year, and then I had another big year on the After Midnight. I think it was 2000, and we won over $1 million that year too.
Wow!
So yeah, that's 5.5 of it right there.
That's good. So we gonna have a marlin season this year? It's been pretty tough the last couple of years.
You know me and my predictions. I'll tell you in November what kind of year it was.
Yeah,
you tell us in November what September is gonna be like.
Yeah, exactly.
Just can't predict it, right?
I can't. I just have seen so much of you know how dynamic the ocean is and the way things change, and I've worked with a lot of real good guys, you know, from like Ocean Imaging and stuff like that, and you just have one little incident somewhere and it's just going to change the dynamics of everything. But you know, I mean, who knows? I like that all this anchovy's back.
Yeah,
I kind of think
that's helpful.
Yeah, I think Yeah. I like seeing the Chovy. And
what about the clean water along the coast?
You know, there's definitely some good signs. I'll tell you one thing: the fish stocks are healthy. The marlin, I don't know if I agree with everything I'm reading on migratory stuff from all these tagging studies, but I'll tell you one thing: the marlin stocks in Mexico are healthy.
Really? Yes.
And we legitimately saw 1,000 marlin one day.
Wow. Yeah, whoa. I remember reading a post that you said that you saw the most marlin you'd ever seen in one day in your whole career fishing marlin.
Yeah, I counted there was an area where there was a bunch of meat on fish, but they wouldn't bite, like 8 miles away from where I was, and we were seeing steady fish all the way through there. We were seeing spots of like 20 and 30 down in there, but they wouldn't bite.
20 and 30 marlin?
At a time.
Jeez.
Yeah, just one time. Yeah, one time. And we go over there with a sonar and just light up. And so then I went about 8 miles away to an area where they had been biting, and we weren't even looking in the binoculars anymore. There was just so many. They were just sticking up everywhere. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to start counting them. And so I started back at 7 o'clock, and by the time I got to the 10 o'clock position, I'd counted like 43 in like 2.5 minutes.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
The other guy was counting the same amount on the other side. So, you know, you do a little bit of math, and honestly, that's not even where the meat was. And we were in them like that all day long over about a 15 or 18-mile area.
What time of the year?
That was probably a month ago. All that fish is up in the Gulf right now.
Okay, so this was not in the Gulf yet.
I was right on the between I was northeast of the Outer Gordo to the Donut.
Oh, okay. So right, so just on its way in.
It was a huge, huge area of fish.
Yeah. Well, Ricky, let's hope that stuff's now right off of Rancho Lanero.
Settled in about 100 yards off the beach, you know, Rancho Lanero.
We arrive at Rancho Lanero tomorrow, and people tell us, oh, man, you should have seen all of them. Boy, I'll tell you what, Steve Lasley, what a wealth of knowledge he is, and I hope you enjoyed that segment of that show. Okay, here's another great captain, Captain Buzz Brizendine from the Prowler. He's retired now, and, of course, Prowler's no longer with us either, unfortunately, but Buzz was always a highlight and one of the great captains of sport fishing in San Diego. He's retired now, but he's still around, and he's still running some boats, too, now and then. We get to see Buzz, but always fun to hear of what's going on in June of 2013. This is June 29th, 2013. Captain Buzz Brizendine.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Like we said earlier, Pete's out at Christmas Island right now, hopefully getting ready to go fish a bonefish flat or catch a big GT. And we're certainly excited to hear how that trip goes. But way more than that, we're excited to hear what's going on our little local scene. And we don't have a better guy that could possibly talk about it. Captain Buzz from the Prowler join us. Morning, Buzz.
Morning, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Excited to see you. And we always joke about, you know, there's always really real, you know, up-to-date info. That's why you listen to Let's Talk Hookup. Well, it certainly doesn't get much more up-to-date than you this morning. I got a call as you were stepping off the boat heading our direction.
Literally, at 6 o'clock, we were just touching the dock.
That's pretty darn cool. Well, we're pumped to have you in here. Certainly appreciate you taking the time and come hang out with us for a couple hours. And what's going on? I mean, this is fishing season. We're at the latter part of June, getting into the true summer July season, and things are looking good.
It's fishing season, and we are engaged. I mean, like we were saying, we just got in off a day and a half trip this morning, mixed bag on the yellowtail, and some tuna around to keep it really interesting.
Oh,
so, and more coming. So it's a pretty rosy picture
now. That's awesome. So tell us about your trip. You just stepped off the boat, and now you said a very cool little bonus in the world of the yellowtail here the last few days.
The size mix has gone up incredibly. We had fish that were in the mid to high 20s, some of which were on the yo-yo.
Really?
Yeah, and that's kelp patty fishing down south ways, and from what we hear, there's more coming this direction.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, that's one thing that, too, probably a lot of people don't realize is, you know, if you were out last season, there was a lot of that super micro yellowtail around in the kelps. And I'm sure a lot of people that haven't been see limits, and aren't aware that, you know, now they're not all 30-pounders like you're talking about. But at the same side, they're all very respectable, nice yellowtail that are coming on the kelps right now.
Absolutely. I'd say the most of it has been 6 to 10-pound fish. And with the sprinkling of this bigger fish in there, I mean, there's some real trophies running around.
We're not talking those 2 and 3 pounders like a couple years ago.
They're none of those.
Yeah, these are nice ones. Well, that's great, and certainly it's cool to see some of that trophy grade around. And you said the B word, some bluefin. Is some bluefin around?
There were bluefin around. They're still not real eager yet, but two different times yesterday we had bluefin underneath the boat. And one was a nice ball of them, the smaller fish. And we had one batch that was on a kelp patty and was the 50-pounders.
Oh, right on.
And We went 1 for 3.
Okay. So you hooked a handful.
We did.
Okay, great.
And got the one, and so that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take. Well, it's certainly exciting, and that's what's been so cool about the last, you know, this, as we get a nice little early start to our season, is very good yellowtail fishing around on the kelps when they are, and knowing that that bluefin is around, there's obviously shots at true trophy-sized fish. And I know there was a score of bluefin that came already this week. There was a little bit that was caught, and sounds like that's just kind of steamrolling and getting better and better. And I know you were saying that there was word from the boats on longer trips that we're seeing fish that are heading our direction, and it just sure seems like we're pointed the right way.
Yeah, it's you know, it's 4th of July coming. It's like it's all just ready to crackle off, and there's really good signs. And even places where we're not fishing right now, the conditions are excellent. I mean, the proverbial gate is open.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you were saying before the show, looking at temperature charts, just that there's good water in a lot of places, which is a really good thing for us.
It is. I mean, it's nice to have too many choices sometimes.
Exactly. So right now the Prowler is running day and a half trips. That's what you said you just came back from?
We're running day and a half trips. Okay. That's what we just got back in off of. And we'll leave on another one Monday evening and just keep it rolling.
That's cool. Well, I know most of us out there fish with you. I fish with you a ton of times. I absolutely love the boat. But, you know, for the anglers out there that haven't had a chance to come fishing with you, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the Prowler and, you know, the type of trips that you typically run.
It's a 65-foot sport fishing boat. We run mostly 1 and 1.5 day trips. We run a few 2-day trips. We really like fishing offshore. That's what we're doing right now, and hopefully we're going to keep fishing offshore well into the fall.
The boat looks beautiful right now, too. I know in the off season, you guys, I think you said no major projects, which allowed for you to just really make her look good. I mean, the boat is just in. I mean, it always is. That's one thing about the Prowler is you guys are known for that, a very clean, very beautiful boat and very good operation. But the boat right now just looks awesome.
Well, thanks. But this past winter was a off-season for fine-tuning.
Yeah, exactly, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
And the boat's air-conditioned, and it's just set up right. It's just that true example of what our good local tuna fishing should be.
Well, we like to think that we can go out and give the people a really good time.
Yeah, totally. So what's next? You know, as we kind of continue rolling on here, do we stay focused on this same thing? Do you feel that the tuna will change at all for us, or we just keep rolling as the yellowtail? I mean, how is when you're looking into the future, how do you see this season continuing to shape up for us?
Well, my crystal ball says.
Yeah, I know that's not a fair question.
No, but that's okay. You know, being out there 12 hours ago, we've got a pretty good perspective.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, we're going to continue doing what we're doing right now, certainly as long as we can, which is good yellowtail fishing. I think more bluefin is going to filter in and bite better.
Okay.
The water's warming up. That usually makes them for better
a little
biters.
More active, sure.
And just kind of a little point of interest, coming home last night, we came up inside the inner bank. And we had 68-degree water.
Did you? Oh, wow.
It was a lot of schmutz on the meter, which indicates it's not maybe the best condition water. But to have that warm water offshore already, and it was 66 and change where we were fishing.
That's great.
You know, there's lots of good things coming.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask this one last one. What about the A word? What about the albacore? You know, somebody had to bring it up. I'm going to be the elephant in the room. What do you think?
You know, the thing that is best about that is, like I was saying a few minutes ago, the gate is open.
Okay.
There are great conditions out to the southwest, and there have been a couple of boats just kind of run a transect through it and said the water was gorgeous, and the Sac Plane was through this area a couple of times,
okay.
And the last time he was there, he said it was excellent conditions. He just felt like it was a little early.
Sure.
So who knows? Maybe the classic 4th of July thing.
That's the other. We were in the. I was in the tackle shop yesterday, and someone said, "Oh, it's too bad the albacore never showed this year." And you know, and we all started to have a little bit of a chuckle. Back in the day, the search never even happened until after. That's what it said: shoot the fireworks and go catch yellowtail. This was all about the islands and yellows and coastal. And then after the 4th of July weekend, that's when you would start to look for them. I mean, back years ago, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that this is when it was supposed to get started.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like we were talking before the show, I fully expect the first local one might be caught by a private boater looking for his club flag or whatever that's looked at the Terrafin chart and kind of, you know, just follows that.
Gets one of those traditional banks, butterfly or 60 or just one of those things where you're kind of out.
Always fun hearing Buzz Brisenton. Hey, here's one. Captain Ron Baker. He's still around. He's up retired in Northern California, but Captain Ron was always fun to have on the show. Great inshore fisherman. Really loved his halibut fishing when he was running out of Point Lumbo Sport Fishing. But Captain Ron, such a character and a fun guy always to have on Let's Talk Hookup. So let's listen to Captain Ron Baker. This is from, again, 2013, and it's July 7th. So enjoy Captain Ron.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the mighty 1090. Hey, it's going to be a good show today, man.
Back in the studio today after a great day at Heller Ford in Escondido yesterday. Thanks to everybody that came out. Huge crowd out there yesterday.
It was fun, man.
It was really fun.
Heller's a really cool place. Those are definitely fishing-friendly guys out there, and it was a great crowd. Really good to get to see everybody. Casting contest was crazy. Ryan had, like, multiple pages of people doing the casting contest. That was just a fun day. You see Cowboy and the whole nine. That was a good day.
A lot of winners, and we'll be doing it again.
Cool.
Next one's 3 weeks.
I'm ready.
Mossy Ford in Pacific Beach, right
another
here in our own backyard. The Mossy guys are big fishing guys, and a great spot there, and they have that nice grass out front.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one, too. Right on.
So,
good.
Mossy Ford in Pacific Beach, your next chance to qualify for that big trip to Rancho Leonero on Alaska Airlines and the Blackjack trip. How about that story with Blake yesterday talking about the trip that he won in the casting contest? Went out on the Blackjack out of Dana Landing and caught his first sea bass, which happened to be just a 45-pounder,
I think a 50-pounder.
Or 50-pounder,
You know, just a regular old 50.
Yeah.
That was cool, Blake.
That was a good one.
Went over there to make bait to fish yellowtail and calico bass for the rest of the day, and while making bait, had a rod out, and next thing you know, lifetime trophy comes up. So that was awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
And somebody else is going to get a shot at that same thing, a three-quarter-day charter. Their own charter on the Blackjack is going to be one of the grand prizes for that casting contest.
Yeah, thanks.
Very cool.
Steve and the gang at Dana Landing, that's a great boat, that Blackjack.
Yeah, it really is.
It's fully out. I mean, you talk about trying to get a spot on that. You got to call them early to get a charter on that Blackjack.
And cool, small load. They got all the tackle, really good guys that run the boat. And very affordable, too,
for
doing your own private deal.
They probably do a lot of fishing right next to you, Cameron.
Yeah, they do. They have that tackle store out there in Lakeside.
Yeah.
That store's doing great.
It's really that's right. You live out in you live in Rickeyville there. East County Bait and Tackle,
No, I live in Ronville.
In Ronville. You live in Lakeside now, Rick?
He's like the mayor.
He is Mr. Lakeside.
Well, that's okay. I'll take that handle.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
He's like the mayor.
My wife's born and raised. Dina's born and raised in Lakeside.
He'll be the mayor. I'll just be the entertainment director.
The entertainment director. That's a good job.
Yeah, right.
That's a perfect job for you. So what's going on at Point Loma there, Cameron?
Well, I've been doing my Twilight. Started. It's good. A lot of bass this year. You know, and we were talking about that 14-inch size limit. At first, I didn't know what to think because we're throwing a lot of fish back. But I think in the long run, our fishery is going to be so healthy. And there's a lot of bass around, and like we were talking about that tagging program, Lyle's tagging. I hope he calls in and we can talk about that program because he's really put a lot of tags in the water. And, you know, fishing's good right now. The bait is kind of like the key thing. We had a lot of anchovies early, and it works, and it's just a lot of bass around. There's a lot of bass. So
is the 14-inch size limit going to benefit calico bass, sand bass, or both?
Well, right now, all the sand bass we're catching down below the border there, they're all big ones. It's a huge grade of fish. Oh, my God, it's a tremendous grade of fish. There's not even one you have to measure.
Nice.
But this calico bass, there's a lot of 13 inches, 13 and a half, 12 and a half inches, which would have gone in a sack last year, are going to be in thrown back this year. Now, the calico guys, you know, like yourself, Rick, when you come out, you throw everything back. Maybe you might keep one nice one, maybe like a 3-pounder. Our calico guy might keep one or two just to eat the rest of them. You might catch 40 bass on your plastic and throw them all back. But for the Red Rock guy who wants to take a few home, that 13-inch fish is out of the fishery now. So that fish is going to go back. Plus, with only a 5-fish limit, we're going to have a tremendous resource. I see it coming. It's going to be. I mean, the amount of fish that we throw back is amazing.
I can't stress enough how much fun it is going fishing with you right now, this time of year. If you're a guy that likes action, and you might not come home with a giant bag of fillets, but you're going to have more fun firing your plastic or fly lining an anchovy catching calico bass. I mean, it's steady all day. Yeah. The bass fishing right now is phenomenal. It's so, so good.
And this is just the first year of the regulation. Think about what it's going to be in 2-3 years.
It's going to
be
awesome.
How good it will be.
Yeah. We're going to have a world-class fishery. Yeah. I can see it coming. I've been around, but, you know, I just renewed my license, ninth issue.
I'm a ninth issue.
Ninth.
Wow.
25 years. Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't understand the guys that were against that, you know. I mean, it was an obvious deal that we were impacting the fishery. And I just don't understand the controversy of why these guys, a lot of guys in the business, this is their livelihood, saying, you know, this is really going to kill us. It's not. It's going to make things better.
Well, I can say that it's probably hurt the filet money. Guys filleting,
that's
okay.
The bottom line
it did, there. But you know what? Sometimes it's not all about that. And for the true calico guy, it ain't about that at all.
Right.
Okay, but on my boat, if the trip is so attractive at a 4-9 deal, I get a lot of tourists and a lot of rent rods. So I have to kind of cater to those people too, along with, well, like when you came out, we had good calico fishing, but we were fish sitting on a pipe where the guys could catch all the bottom fish.
Yeah.
And you know, it seems like as later it gets, that fish moves out. We start catching bigger fish on dropper loops, big ones. Late, just before dark. I don't know what it is.
Cool.
Yeah,
something turns on right there on dropper loop, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
No, this stuff goes down and it's not on the surface anymore.
No, it stays up. But
yeah,
it just seems to bite the dropper loops better as the evening goes on. You know?
Yeah.
So they keep a few, if I could fill that in with some bottom fish, some nice sugars or some grassies or tree fish, and you know,
that's everybody's favorite tree fish.
I mean, well, it is. It's a great fish. It's a great fish to catch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for somebody who's never really been out before, to catch a few, 4, 5, 6 fish.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's only a 5-hour trip. We're not going to Guadalupe.
That trip that you do is really cool. I really, really like it. It's a very cool set of hours. It's something that you can go, something you can work. You can get off of work. You can run down to the boat, throw your gear in the car, get off of work, run down to the boat, have a cold one, catch a couple fish. You're home not so late that you can't get up and go to work again the next morning. It's a really cool way to spend a couple hours in an evening on the water. I love it.
Now, what are you charging?
I've been a
for
bunch
that,
of
right?
times.
$45.
$45.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
if you go to Mexico, you have to buy a Mexican permit.
Oh, I don't go to Mexico.
Oh, you don't?
No. We fish Point Loma, that's it.
Point Loma.
That's a big area, Kelsey.
Like a 6-hour trip.
Yeah, we leave at 4, we get back at 9:30.
Wow.
So
nice.
That's a cool trip.
What a great run. And how many days a week?
I do it just every day.
Every day?
7 days a week. This week I'm scheduled 7 days a week.
Wow.
That's
You're
cool.
working every day.
Then, of course, on the 4th, we did the Twilight Fireworks Show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If anybody didn't see that.
The greatest fireworks show I've ever seen.
Greatest I've ever seen.
San Diego
they say it was
yeah,
the biggest
really?
One in the country.
Biggest one. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, it was
awesome.
Yeah. It was. They made up for last year's big blast.
Big boom.
Yeah, the big boom.
But that big blast was kind of special, too.
Yeah.
Because I was anchored right next to the barge in the big blast.
Yeah.
That's where I was this year, right next to the barge.
Yeah. That's cool. So next year you better book that 4th of July trip with Captain Ron. You go fishing, come back, watch the fireworks.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fun time. Let me ask you this question, Ron. Back on the subject of the size limit and the limit. A lot of the guys are saying, well, when you're throwing them back, the sea lions are eating them. Is that true?
No.
No. Not happening.
Not happening. They don't really eat a lot of calicos.
Yeah. They'll eat a couple maybe.
Not really. I mean, you know who grabs them more than anything is the harbor seals. Harbor seals will grab one.
Yeah.
But not the sea lions, they don't. Yeah, they don't.
Yeah. You having issues with sea lions this year?
Yeah, there's an issue, especially at the islands. I've gotten to, I'll be honest with you, Pete, I've gotten to the point where I don't even enjoy really going there and fishing yellowtail.
Coronado Island.
I was over there the other day and we hooked 7, caught 1, 6 were eaten up by the seals.
Jeez.
Wow.
And you couldn't even wind a barracuda. And I was anchored all by myself. Which is, you can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
No.
Yeah, you can't put the anchor down. You have to drift, right?
No, I was anchored up in a little place called the Gun Sight, and I saw a nice ball of big nugget of yellowtail there, but I couldn't catch them.
Yeah, just because of sea lions.
You know, if I had guys that could throw the iron with 40 pound, I might have had a chance because I could have pulled those in. But you get one on a rent rod, and it gets straight up and down, it's...
And they're bigger fish over there, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, big fish, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
God, it drives you crazy. It's hard enough to fish and get a bite from one of those things. To throw in the element of you've got to throw it out, get a bite, and then try and get it before sea lion, it's just not fair, man.
No,
it's tough enough to hook one
you know,
as it is.
It's not fair to the fish.
No.
I think as we get older, we become more conservation-minded. And to me, I don't mind hooking a fish and landing it because everything goes through the chain. Or this guy's happy, tells a friend he eats it, they have a barbecue, it's all good. But when you hook it and the sea lion gets it, it's a no-win deal.
It's a waste, yeah.
It's a waste.
So let's talk about the Crystal Pier
yeah.
Kids Classic. August 10th, right?
Yeah, this is our sixth year.
Sixth year for
yep,
it.
Yeah, yeah. I started this thing with a grant from the Department of Fish and Game.
Wow.
And after a couple of years, the grant kind of wore out. And of course, I went to Frank, thanks to you. I was didn't know where I was going to get
Friends
the
Friends of Rollo.
Friends of Rollo, yeah. And Frank said, well, you know, I didn't think you ever were going to ask me, Ron. Pete said, well, give Frank a call. Because I don't need to run around with my hand. I kind of always do my own thing.
Sure.
I always did my own thing.
That's what Friends of Rollo is for. It's fishing.
Yeah.
It's a take kids fishing.
Yep. And yeah. It's a wonderful event.
And that's what this event's about, right?
It's
a free fishing day for kids.
It is. It's
Describe
awesome.
Describe it. So
well, yeah. It's on the pier. You know, the last couple, 3 years.
The Pacific fishing. Beach Pier. Which
yeah,
is
right
there,
Crystal Pier. Yeah. Of course, thanks to Jim. I went to Jim down there.
Yeah.
And said, Jim.
Jim Bastian. Captain Ryan Bastian's dad.
I went to Jim, and I said, Jim, I got this grant money. What do you think about doing a tournament on your pier? Yeah, because he's all into kids. Yeah. So that started it, and I don't know. It's just growing. I mean, there's so many people that are involved, you know, from all the businesses in Pacific Beach, the town council, the Rotary Club, everybody donates. Pacific Beach is a group of all the commerce, and there's a hospitality task force, which is a group of all the bars and restaurants. They all pitch in. And it's,
wow.
Yeah.
The number of kids that participate in that thing always blows me away. So you tell them how many people you'll see on an average day at the Crystal Pier Kids Classic.
Well, there's always about 400 kids. But the beautiful thing...
400 kids.
Yeah.
On a one day event, three day.
Pier's full. But what makes it so nice is Jim opens the pier up to the tourist trade. And of course... You know, and this year, Tommy's not going to cook for other reasons. But I thank him so much for cooking fish tacos here
Tommy
for 5 years. You know, he cooked them. There's something about a pier that it's a draw to people. And when they see all these kids out there, everybody kind of wanders out there on the pier to see what's going on. Of course, they always got a fish taco. I think Tommy said they cooked 1,700 fish tacos.
Wow. That's good for Tommy, too. That's really cool.
Wow.
I love that stuff.
This year I've got a Mexican restaurant that's going to fill in for him and maybe do, I don't know what to do. We got a meeting with him here in a couple of days to see if he'd like to step up. If not, Albertsons has always donated hot dogs to go along with the fish tacos, so there'll be a free lunch there. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah,
I'm
well funded. And then you provide tackle for all these kids, too?
Lakeside Optimus.
Wow.
They bring their wagon down there and furnish rods and reels, and there's free tackle.
For 400 kids?
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, wow.
Some people bring their own.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a barn burner.
So it's a free day for kids fishing.
A lot of prizes.
And you have a contest, right?
Yeah.
Prizes.
Yeah, there's prizes. There's a waiver. There's a grand prize. There's it's awesome. The last couple of years, the yellowfin croaker have been licking hard.
Oh, cool.
But there's always something. Like last year, the kids caught 7 lobsters.
Really?
Wound them up on the rods and reels. Nice big lobster because they had to release them all.
Yeah.
You know, and then the fishing game come, Ben Thompson and those guys come down and walk the pier, and it's just a great, fun family day.
Wow. August 10th, what time?
Well, it opens it up at 8 for the kids. We get out there at 7, but the tournament doesn't start till 8 because all the people that have their rooms there.
Sure.
Can't start at daylight.
Yeah.
So it's 8 to 3 o'clock.
8 to 3.
Yeah.
That's and all you have to do is just show up.
You know, yeah, just come in, you go up front, they got the Pacific Beach Women's Club, they sign everybody up, give them a little rest band, and...
Totally free.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool way to spend a day with the kids, too. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one. It's a great one.
What about help? Do you need people do you need volunteers, things like that?
Well, Bloody Decks, they step up, they come down, help all the kids rig. We have guys that come and cut bait. We have a catch and release contest. I have these little cards. That Maggie makes these little, Maggie Beauchamp from Billy Dex makes these little cards, and we have these little punches. So when they catch a fish, someone's there that when they release it, they punch their card.
Oh, neat.
That's cool.
So then they have a contest for the top 4 in each division, boys and girls. Last year, 47 fish released.
That's
Whoa.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so there's always a big spot then, or somebody will go down there and fish the surf with a mud, little ghost shrimp, or some worms and catch a big surf perch or halibut or just
so
you never know. You know, I'm gonna tell you, you never know what kids are gonna haul up.
Wait a second. You saying one kid released 47 fish?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You one person.
Yeah, it took me a minute. I thought you were saying that was your total of releases.
First of all, we figured out how to rig the gear. And Luke from Angler's Choice helps me out with this. And we take sabikis and we cut them in half.
Okay.
Make them two hooks. See?
Perfect. Yeah. Tie a little sinker at the bottom of it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. A little piece of squid or a little piece of shrimp on it.
Nice.
Them. And they catch the smelt, the perch,
sure.
The lizardos.
No, then, Ricky's favorite.
That's my
they all count when they're going catch and release.
Yeah, right? Man. Absolutely.
They just rain them on because the kids all want to. And if you got everybody rigged right, it's amazing how much fish you can catch. Yeah. So we have guys, Oceanside Senior Anglers comes down. They rig all the kids up, which, oh, my God, I don't know how they do it.
A lot of work.
Now, Mila Perrine comes and paints all the kids' faces up. She's a face painter.
It's awesome, man.
Great day.
You.
August
That's
10th,
cool.
So mark your calendar. Oh, yeah. You have kids. What's the age group?
Well,
youngest to oldest.
Well, I would say from 5 to 15.
Okay.
But there's babies out there, too. People bring the whole family come.
Okay.
You know, they all get set up, you know. And lunch starts like, I don't know, 10:30 or 11. And
okay.
It's just a fun day. A lot of fun. There's a big board. And we have a, you know, big Waymaster. We have we have all that
cool.
going on.
Fun.
All
right.
We give bicycles away. We give beach cruisers away. We give, you know, a lot of fishing rods. We give over 150 rods away.
Nice.
That's
and
cool.
I got guys that just donate. You know, I had a guy donate last year, a Hexagon True Line,
that's
which
nice.
Went the first prize. With that, I put a brand new jig master on it.
Nice.
Yeah, the kid probably didn't know what he had.
Yeah,
in it.
Exactly.
You know, that is probably the only rod that was ever built that is worth more now than it was when it was new.
Yeah, probably. One of the few.
That may be a Styloflex or an old Harnell worth some money, but True Line.
Those are ones that aren't built anymore?
No.
Right. Yeah.
That old red glass True Line, they were just so ahead of themselves, it was crazy, wasn't it?
Off for the call.
Yeah. All right, let's jump right back into them. This time we're going to talk to Don, who's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Good morning, Don. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Great show and great hearing from Al from Topanga.
How about that?
That was cool.
And nice to see you yesterday coming down all the way from Woodland Hills there, Don, to come to Escondido to Heller Ford.
Hey, thanks. It was great. It was a lot of fun. A lot of great guys there. And you're absolutely right. It was a huge group of people.
Yeah, that was fun.
Hey, yesterday, towards the end of the show, Rick, there were a couple folks talking about setting up talikas. And my question to you is, with these big bluefin, normally I set my drag at about 25% of whatever fluorocarbon top shot I'm using. For the bigger bluefin, would you recommend that kind of setup? And if so, then what would you do to actually set the fish?
I think your 25% of your breaking strength of the weakest link in your line is usually your fluorocarbon top. I think that's perfect. So, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. That's definitely an appropriate drag setting for a bigger fish.
Ron, you on that too? Same page?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And when you say set the fish, what are you referring to, Don?
Well, okay, when, you know, you finally get lucky and you get picked up, I typically wait, you know, a long three count. And then I'm going to go ahead and move the lever to strike.
Yeah,
Ron, you see.
So what do you want? What are you going to do, Ron?
I like to let everything load up because if you're fly lining, just because your line is straight out, that doesn't mean that's where that bait is. And sometimes when you get picked up and your line's going in free spool, that just because the line's going off the tip of the pole pointed in a direction, that doesn't really mean that's where that fish is. So I like to put it in gear and let everything load up. And, of course, if you're using any of these new designer hooks, you really don't need to swing hard. You can just let it load up and just
put it in gear and start winding, huh?
Well, I like it to get – yeah, I like to use the right rod for that particular pound test, and I like to let it all load up and come tight. And then you got it.
Get the stretch out of the line.
Don't try to swing on it too soon because you're going to swing on slack, which happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because you think your line is out there, definitely it might even not be. It might be down around the corner somewhere.
Especially with a bluefin tuna, man. You put it in gear and start winding. If he doesn't have it in his mouth already and in the corner, you circle hook or deep in the mouth, he's not going to get it.
You hit the nail on the head, too, when you said put it in gear and start winding. As far as I'm concerned, that's for everything. Circle hook, J-hook, whatever.
Yeah.
If you fish a J-hook the same way you would fish a circle hook, where you get a bite, let the line start stripping off your reel nice and steady, and put it into gear. And with a talika, you know, you don't need to necessarily just slam it all the way over. Just push, you know, just a nice steady ramp up right to strike and just start turning the handle and let the rod load up and let the rod bend down. That, like, like Ron said, you're fishing a gamakatsu hook. The hook has probably already found itself. If you need to swing afterwards to, you know, just because it feels good to swing into one, by all means. But if you fish a J-hook the same way you'd fish a circle, I would say a true 9 times out of 10, it winds up right in the same spot, right in the corner. Just start winding.
Oh, yeah, that Nautilus circle hook. Now they have the Nautilus light. They have.
I use all that. In fact, I've kind of gone to that Kamigatsu live bait hook, which is a kind of an offset, kind of curvy hook for just general local fishing. The problem with some of the circle hooks for novice, it's hard to hook a bait. It's hard sometimes for us to hook a bait with a circle hook. Can you imagine with a rent rod? So I started using Nautilus when I was the circle hooks when I was fishing halibut. There it's an automatic. But that live bait, light wire live bait hook, the fact that it's kind of curvy does the same thing. It's easier to hook the bait.
Yeah.